Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, so long and farewell, Aaron Levy, the spokesperson of the Israeli state for several months, during which that state has been waging a genocidal war against Gaza. Now, he's one of many unfortunate British exports to the rest of the world, which we will be apologising for a very long time. To be fair, far from the first, certainly won't be the last. This officially sanctioned apologist for some of the worst atrocities committed in the 21st century has been unceremoniously sacked by the Israeli government, to which I say the absolute ingratitude. As tens of thousands of Palestinians have been violently slaughtered, around 40% of them children, as Gaza's civilian infrastructure has been razed to the ground, its healthcare system violently wrecked, its people subjected to famine, Aaron Levy was there just to find the unjustifiable, spreading the notorious and endless deceit that the Israeli authorities have truly spun into an art form. You make your name spinning for a state as it commits genocide, and this is the thanks that you get. Now, this Londoner, educated at the not cheap private university college school in Hampstead, was a former news anchor on Israeli news channels, but has been one of the more recognisable faces of the Israeli state since it began wiping Gaza off the face of the earth back in October. Now, it was originally announced he'd been suspended a week ago after a row with the British government. Normally, this would be a case of, oh God, can't they both just lose? But let's just go over what happened. Aaron Levy spread Israeli lies, bluntly speaking, about the drivers behind the growing famine in Gaza, which has been entirely manufactured, of course, by the Israeli state. Our Foreign Secretary, Lord David Cameron, declared, "We continue to urge Israel to allow more trucks into Gaza as the fastest way to get aid to those who need it." Now, Aaron Levy responded on Twitter that it's factually incorrect that the flow of aid hasn't increased, claiming Israel's crossings had excess capacity, and if the UK wants more aid to enter Gaza, it should send it in and Israel would make sure it gets in. Now, this annoyed the UK, who presumably thought he was being impertinent. In any case, a subsequent letter from Lord David Cameron to Tory MP Alicia Kearns, who heads the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, made clear Israel was intentionally blocking aid, i.e., deliberately starving Gaza to death, contradicting, for example, claims that the United Nations had requested the crucial Kerem Shalom crossing be closed on Saturday. David Cameron made clear that's down to Israel closing it on the Sabbath, and then detailed how the main blocks remain arbitrary denials by the Israeli government, lengthy clearing procedures, multiple screenings, narrow opening windows in daylight hours, with UK aid routinely held up waiting for Israeli permission, with some UK-funded aid stuck at the border for just under 3 weeks waiting for approval. Now, let's just listen to Alicia Kearns here.
This discussion all started with an exchange on Twitter with Aaron Levy, the Israeli government spokesman, with you. Understand he's been suspended after that exchange. Did the UK government raise concerns directly with the Israeli government about that?
I genuinely don't know. And look, you know, I've obviously had a lot of people claiming that I'm behind this decision. You know, if I had a choice about what Israel would be doing as a result of my discussions on Twitter, it would not have anything to do with somebody's employment. It would be changing the amount of aid that are getting into Gaza. That is what I want as the outcome. And that is my objective throughout all of this.
But he responded to your claims. That was his choice. Did you feel that he overstepped?
Well, unfortunately, what he was saying was factually inaccurate. You know, he essentially said to the UK, test us. Those are the exact words he used. He said, we can get another 100 trucks of aid into Gaza every day if you send them to us. That is not true. He also said that the UN, as I said earlier, had asked for crossings to be closed on Saturdays. That is also categorically untrue. And I think it's really important when we are talking about people's lives that we are factually accurate in the conversations we have. And that is why I challenged him repeatedly.
Factually inaccurate, she says. Well, I think that's pretty generous of Alicia Kearns, if she doesn't mind me saying so. It seems very clear to me that Aaron Levy was spreading official Israeli lies. How could he not know these claims were false? It's not simply a case of being incompetent here. Why would he falsely believe the United Nations requested a crucial crossing was closed on a Saturday, for example, when his own government was responsible? Now, the UK is, of course, a key ally of Israel, so let's not give it too much credit here, because it's not using its leverage over Israel, even though it knows full well Israel is deliberately starving Gaza to death. but clearly it felt this spokesperson was embarrassing them. The crime of Levy wasn't spreading deceit, but not spreading deceit well enough. Now, Ilan Levy has been at the forefront of spinning narratives in support of Israeli crimes which have proved murderous. He led the public smear campaign against UNRWA, Gaza's main humanitarian agency, which began in earnest as soon as the ICJ issued its provisional orders, which include instructing Israel to ensure access to humanitarian aid. That smear campaign led multiple donor countries, including the UK, to suspend financial support for UNRWA, strangling the main humanitarian agency as catastrophe gripped the people of Gaza. No substantial evidence has been provided to justify this claim, belatedly leading donor nations like the European Union and Canada to restore funding. But alas, too late, the damage is done. Now, Ilan Levy has the disgusting temerity to claim that UNRWA is a Hamas front, which he repeatedly says. Note, incidentally, that UNRWA submits a list of employees every single year to Israel for vetting. We've seen the biggest killing of UN aid agencies, aid agency workers in such a short space of time ever in the history of the United Nations. What the sort of rhetoric used by Ilan Levy does is put a target on the backs of all of them. Now, UNRWA has been barred by Israel from entering northern Gaza, where the situation is apocalyptic. That itself is, of course, genocidal implications, because it means contributing to the mass death, starvation of the Palestinian people. Now, Ilan Levy spread the propaganda about Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's main hospital, which Israeli state claimed was the main headquarters of what they described as the terrorist activities of Hamas, which was used to justify waging war in that hospital, slaughtering doctors and nurses and patients. They had to dig a mass grave, and then moving on to destroy the rest of Gaza's healthcare system by bombs, bullets, artillery, you name it. Now, investigation by the Washington Post found Israel's claims about Al-Shifa Hospital to be nonsense, but too late, because attention moved on and the healthcare system was trashed, a key plank of a genocidal onslaught. This is always a modus operandi of the Israeli state. What they do is they say something, they make claims about a terrible atrocity that are false, muddy the waters, cause confusion, wait for attention to move on, and then when it's clear that they were talking complete nonsense, well, people aren't talking about it anymore. Now, Ilan Levy's variously spread propaganda about Israel massacring Palestinians who were desperate for food, claiming they were crushed in a stampede, well, subsequently, of course, found these bodies, medics who had to receive these bodies en masse, they all have bullet wounds, the vast majority of bullet wounds. Some were crushed in a stampede after bullets were fired at them, so people fled in panic, causing a stampede. But the vast majority were killed by bullets. Now, Ilan Levy's belief in collective guilt, which is a necessary precondition for genocide, was underlined by a clip he posted in which he and a guest argued Palestinians and Hamas were essentially one. If you watch the clip, I mean, what conclusion can you draw from it? They were arguing that it's West-splaining when it was said that Hamas and the Palestinian people was distinct and Hamas didn't represent the Palestinians, and even Hamas's enemies, Fatah, celebrated Hamas. Now, given he keeps calling for Hamas to be entirely exterminated by military means, we can see the general issue here with the Israeli state. Because when they say we don't target innocent or uninvolved civilians, well, they're not exactly being clear about what they mean there, are they? Because how they define innocent or uninvolved civilians. It's very clear, if you watch a lot of media coverage in Israel, they don't believe in innocent civilians, a lot of them. Which is why the speech at the beginning of all this by Isaac Herzog, the president of Israel, not, I would note, a member of the right-wing Likud party, but hailing from the Labour Party in Israel, was so instructive because he publicly declared, it's an entire nation out there that's responsible. This rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved, is absolutely not true. Well, that's clearly the mentality of the Israeli state, which is why we've seen this level of genocidal violence, because they believe in collective guilt. That's the problem. That's why collective guilt leads to genocide. Now, let's just look at this segment from BBC Newsnight when Victoria Derbyshire, like most journalists, put this guy under pressure.
We have been pursuing them in full accordance of international law.
And that is disputed. I want to ask you about these comments made by Israeli politicians since October the 7th, and hopefully we can bring up the quotes.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here we are. This is your president. It's an entire nation out there that's responsible. He's referring to Gazans. Have a look at this. The next one. We are now actually rolling out the Gaza Nakbar. Nakbar, as people know, is a term for catastrophe after the 1948 war, a war used by Palestinians about ethnic cleansing. And we all have one common goal, erasing the Gaza Strip from the face of the earth. Can you see why some people believe that you absolutely don't want Palestinians any longer in Gaza?
We think we have been very clear, both in word and in deed.
In those words?
Well, Mr. Vettori does not make decisions on security matters in Israel. We think we've been very clear, both in word and in deed, that the people of Gaza are not our enemy. Our enemy is the Hamas regime, and that is why we have gone further than any army in the history of the world to try to get civilians out of harm's way. Now, we just have the formal...
I'm going to bring you back to the words of those politicians, if I may. We're now actually rolling out the Gaza Nakbar. Nakbar, the Palestinian term for ethnic cleansing. Those are the words of a government minister government.
Talk about a little bit of historical context. What the Palestinians refer to as the Nakba.
I'm just asking you about those words.
So I want to talk about that word Nakba. When the Palestinians use the word Nakba, they are referring to the consequences of the decision in 1948 to try to scuttle the creation of a Jewish state under the UN General Assembly resolution. They declared war in 1948. That war of annihilation did not go their way, and there were consequences as a result.
And how is that relevant to what your government minister has said now? Because what he is saying is we want to get rid of these people.
No, we do not want to get rid of these people. We have been very clear in word and in deed, as a government and as the Prime Minister and the Defence Minister have said, that we urge civilians to get to safety in the safe zone. We've been urging them to go to the safe zone.
There are no safe zones, you know that.
Now, his description of the Nakba there is very instructive because 750,000 or so Palestinians were driven from their homes in 1948. In fact, the vast majority of those living in Gaza are the relatives, the descendants of those refugees. Some of them are still surviving refugees from 1948. And 15,000 Palestinians at the time were violently slaughtered in an orgy of horrifying violence. Nayla Levy describes that actually as the consequences Palestinians brought themselves. You just need to do a bit of 2+2 there to understand what he means, therefore, in the current context. Because what he's talking about is he's asked about what's been said since 7th of October within Israeli ministers calling for a new Nakba. And his response to that was, well, actually, the Nakba is something the Palestinians brought themselves. It's their own consequences of what they did. Well, you can see what that means in this context, given the 7th of October and the response to 7th of October. Now, finally, there was that question about what happened on 7th of October itself. Now, as I've said over and over again, Hamas and other armed groups committed terrible and unjustifiable war crimes against Israeli civilians. There's absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. Now, there were also a series of false claims made by the Israeli state and its outriders, who frankly tended to focus on the false claims rather than the actual claims which were committed. And they did that for a very straightforward reason, given they were inevitably going to kill far more innocent people than Hamas and other armed groups did. They had to build a case that their form of violence, Israel's violence, was morally superior to Hamas's violence. Hence claims like beheading babies, burning babies, and so on. Or, for example, the execution of a family after they were slowly tortured to death in the most hideous way. Now, these claims have been extensively debunked, not least, actually, by Israeli media, which has often done a better job than Western media outlets. And also note, of course, the recent Al Jazeera documentary, which has gone into great detail about those claims, what actually happened 7th of October and what didn't happen 7th of October. But I would note that the now suspended Ilan Levy is still spreading false claims. He quote-tweeted the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and wrote, "The world must not encourage the Palestinians to look back at the gang rapes and baby burnings of 10/7 and think, hey, those atrocities really pushed our national cause forward." But that is exactly what the UN Secretary General is doing. TLDR, terrorism pays. TLDR, for those who don't know what it means, it's too long to read. It's supposed to refer to, basically, it's supposed to be like, here's a summary. Here's a kind of quick summary of what I'm saying. Now, I stand by what I've said repeatedly. That's very serious claims of sexual violence against Israeli women and Palestinian women and children need to be taken seriously, investigated. Multiple have been made. I would note that the most famous piece of journalism on what he's describing, published by the New York Times, has been a significant part debunked, including by the paper itself, which published a quite extraordinary piece disproving claims made about two women being raped at a kibbutz because of new video evidence. It contradicted a detailed testimony from a military paramedic, which was so detailed it could not have been mistaken. I'm not going to go into detail because it's actually really graphic. And the point I'm making there is it's not possible for this to be a case of trauma, meaning, because I think it is plausible, you could have had, in some cases, first responders who aren't necessarily got the right training, looking at scenes of terrible horror and jumping to conclusions when they're overwhelmed by emotion, which aren't actually supported by evidence. This was too detailed and graphic. It has to be a lie. And it's contradicted by video evidence, which is why the New York Times has written a new piece about it. Guess who introduced that military paramedic to media outlets? A certain Elon Levy. Now, obviously, there are claims about sexual violence which still need to be investigated. And I'm not saying that no sexual violence, rape happened, for example, on 7th of October. That does need to be investigated. And we know in all situations in which there are men with guns, there's a long history, I'm afraid, of sexual violence taking place. We also know there are multiple claims of Palestinian women and children being raped and sexually abused. What I would note is this serious specific claim was false, and note whose fingerprints were all over that claim. But his point about baby burnings is just a lie. No one claims this now based on actual evidence. One Israeli baby was killed on the 7th of October. Now, one baby being killed is clearly one maybe too many. It's horrible on its own terms. That baby was killed by being shot through the door of a safe room. Now, in contrast, 14,000 Palestinian children, plus some would suggest significantly more depending on how many are buried under the rubble, but at least many, many hundreds of them babies have been burned to death or slowly suffocated to death under rubble or burned and suffocated to death. So what's so perverse is false claims about babies being burned to death by Elon Levy and his ilk have been used to justify a military onslaught which has burned multiple, many babies to death. That really is the world turned upside down. And that's the point there of extreme claims which were used to justify genocidal violence to make Western audiences think, well, I'm very distressed about this horror now in Gaza, but then Elon Levy's like, remember what happened on 7th of October? Those babies were burned to death. That was a function of what he was doing. Now, there have been many like Elon Levy throughout history, terrible crimes throughout history committed by states, and they've always had propagandists to lie, to smear, to deflect, to cover up, to gaslight, to obfuscate, to project. There's nothing new about Elon Levy. Well, I will keep on noting that the Genocide Convention of 1948 listed five crimes, two of which were, on the one hand, direct and public incitement to commit genocide, and another was complicity in genocide. Well, I strongly believe that Israel is committing genocide. I think the evidence is overwhelming based on the stated intent of Israeli leaders and officials and, of course, what's happened on the ground, and that, therefore, at the very least, Elon Levy is guilty of complicity in genocide, and he should be held to account. But it is easy, so easy, of course, to scapegoat villains like Elon Levy, and we should not stop holding all those responsible for this crime to account. Many, many lives depend on us doing so. Please like and subscribe. Do share this video. Keep the show on the road at patreon.com/owndoes84. Listen to us on podcast. I'll speak to you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.